Start out with a couple of verses, John 3:16 and 17, which you all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You know, that sacrifice was the greatest gift ever. A gift of acceptance, to be given life instead of condemnation. A gift of grace by a God of love, but also a God of justice. That's why there had to be a sacrifice. A gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, Christmas is a lot of things. We've turned it into a lot of things. Christmas is commercial. Now, we've got Black Friday. We've got Cyber Monday. We've got Small Business Tuesday, and I believe they have an Amazon Wednesday now. All calling us to buy gifts. Maybe we can't afford. Maybe with money we may not have. To give to people you're not sure you even like, really. But the call is there. Go and buy. This is how you celebrate Christmas. Christmas is social. You know, it's all the family parties and the work parties and all the travel plans and family visits and all that goes, you know, cookies and candies and all the stuff that goes into it. And we need to get everything scheduled that we need to attend. We need to get our schedule laid out. Maybe even a special church service. After all, it's Christmas. You know, hurried and hassled Christmas shoppers crushed into an elevator, and the door closes, and it's silence for just a little bit. And then a lady with two kids hanging on her arms, which were already loaded with bags, frustrated with it all and exasperated, said, "Whoever thought of this Christmas thing should be hung." Of course, from the back of the elevator, somebody said, "They already did. Hung him on a cross." Christmas is spiritual. Celebrating the grace and the mercy of God. You know, he left a heavenly throne. He left heaven to come down. Just to be a simple human. To be here with all of us. The Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all working together to make atonement for our sins, to bring us into a relationship with him. A baby, Jesus, born by a miracle, so as to be made a perfect sacrifice. Jesus' birth, which changed the future for all who believe in him. It's a time to understand the love of God for each one of us. Ephesians 3:14-21 this morning. Ephesians 3:14-21. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You know, do you understand the love of God? Sometimes we don't. It's hard, but he's given us the ability to understand it. He loves us so much, he gave us his Son. He loved us so much, he gave us his Spirit. He created us into new beings. so you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There's nothing higher than that, to be the fullness of God, to have everything that He wants us to have, His Spirit, His love. You know, we see it in some of the songs that we sing, you know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. One verse says, Hail the heaven-born of Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life for all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth. I think the key verse is, born to give us second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. You know, a second birth, that's the opportunity we have. He loves us enough not just to give us life. And He knew every one of you before you were born. But a second birth, that eternal life, and in Him. It says you must be born of water and born of spirit. You're born again with baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were all born of water. You know, there's a young one back there in a sack of water that's going to keep him safe until it's time to come see us. Baptism, Holy Spirit, is in you until it's time to see God. Keeps you. You know, John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. John 3, 5 through 7. Jesus answered, Verily, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Once again, you must be born again. Silent Night tells us the same thing. The bees are still here. Silent Night, one of the verses, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Again, cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. Born again. Christ in us. The Holy Spirit in us. You know, people today, we adapt to a lot of things. We adapt to environments around us. And I'm not just talking food, water, those types of things. But, you know, we adapt to technology. Computers, smartphones, you know. GPS systems, everybody's got the phones now. Most people have computers, GPS systems. It takes you where you want to go. Farmers use it for planting now. You know, it's kind of, we've adapted to those things around us. You know, one thing we've failed to adapt to is getting along with each other. You know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. We still fail at that. We still can't get along. We're adaptable, but not into things we need to be adaptable to. You know, our great need is Jesus. To be reborn. To have His Spirit formed in us. Living in us. And showing us how to live and get along together. And to be loved and love. You know, when Joseph and Mary arrived in Jerusalem, it was crowded. A lot of things going on, you know, there for censuses, families, some families meeting up with other families, they're making the travel arrangements to get there, you know, making the hotel reservations and or trying, you know, a lot of stuff going on. And we know so much so that there wasn't any room in the inn for them when they got there. And we know Jesus ended up being born in a manger. You know, I don't know what you think of a manger. Usually we see them out and about that look fairly sterile and clean. That's not what a manger was. You know, a manger was a stinky, dirty, cold area for animals. You know, a place where not many even wanted to go. Most people looked down on it. You know, they weren't going where the animals were. There was other special people to take care of the animals. You know, they weren't going to do that. They looked down on the people who even worked there. So when Jesus was born, they weren't the first people invited. Those other people. Pride stops us from what we need. Pride keeps us from what we need. The humble people that were willing and seeking were invited. The shepherds were given the good news first. They were told to come and see. And they went. And they experienced God. Now we might think, you know, them traveling through, you know, she's on a donkey traveling a long way, about ready to give birth. That was pretty awful of the them not to find them a room. You know, surely there was room for them, especially in her condition, having a baby. You know, the innkeeper should have looked out for him, should have found him something. But, you know, it wasn't that the innkeeper was a bad person. I don't know if he was good or bad. But he wasn't necessarily a bad person. It was just the crowd. It was crowded. It was a busy life that was happening around him. Lots of things going on. You know, others he's trying to look out for. His own family he's trying to look out for. And all these people descending on him and wanting things. And it just was a fact. The inn was crowded. There wasn't any more room. Jesus was born where there was room. He was born in a manger. Now, when I have an invitation first, we're going to have communion in a bit. And I want to close with Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10 says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, I know your life is crowded. I know it's busy. Everybody is like that. But if you don't have room for Jesus, you need to change your schedule. You need to reduce the clutter in your life. This is a spiritual time to remember Jesus' birth. A time to remember when you were reborn into a living relationship with Jesus. To understand that that's a time to experience God. I know you can go on, you can enjoy all the blessings, and there's a lot of blessings, the families and the meals and the get-togethers and the gifts and all of that. And all that's wonderful, and that's all a blessing. And you can have a wonderful Christmas that way. But if you don't take the time to relish your relationship with Jesus or understand what his birth means, or to experience God, to be still and know God, then you've missed the true Christmas. You've missed out. If you'll do it that way, it'll stay with you all year round. It won't just be short. Open the gifts, it's over. Clean up, put stuff back up. Wait till next year. To last all year. Please take the time to be still and know God this season. Let's pray.